Okay, let's come to order. I don't think we have anybody in here that's new this week, so we can dispense with the roll call. Is there anybody online that's new?
No. So it looks like we have Counselor Marshall's online, County Manager Kathleen Otto's online, Jordan Beige from the council's office, Nancy Halverson, Jackie Lane, community members, and Rocky Houston, Parks and Lands Division Manager.
Okay. Has everyone read the minutes? Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
I'll second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded. We approve the minutes as presented. Any questions, comments, corrections? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes are approved as distributed. I have no comments at the present, so I'll go right into BYCX. We have no one here from PHR, right? No.
Thanks, Dan. We're off season right now. We'll start running scheduled Mother's Day weekend. We've been doing a lot of track work up at Chulachi. They installed about 175 ties up there and over 1,000 spikes. Straightening out some of the track that was in poor condition that we don't use. This is so we can also clear the tracks for PBJR's future activities. They've asked us to move some cars, and we're getting it in ready for that. We had a couple switches that were in trouble. They've been repaired around the shop, so that's all taken care of.
Where's that?
At Chulachi. Okay. Apparently, we triggered some of the neighbors thinking it was PBJR doing activity. We just had a tie exchanger and a backhoe out there pulling ties and swapping them. But I don't know if we have to put our initials on the roof of our equipment or not. But it went to Kevin, and it's just standard tie exchanges. We're not moving anything around. And reballasting and tamping to get the track back in good shape up in the area of the shop. We've got some new volunteers on board, and we moved two of the cars up along the depot. Our open ramp car that we board everybody on, it's open seating, and then our coach, we moved them up to next to the depot, and our new volunteers are tearing the bejesus out of the cars, fixing things in them, widening our bathroom doorway to make it a little easier for people with walkers to get into that. They're going to be doing some painting and whatnot. So they meet, I think it's every 2 weeks. We have a get-together up there. I think we have one this Wednesday. And they talk about stuff, but they're all local people, so they can come and go, and they meet at different times. Just maybe two of them will go up there and paint or something. So we're getting some of that work done up there that we would, our regular group of volunteers would have trouble getting done. So that's going on. And right now we're still looking at, we've taken our diesel up to the shop. It's got to have some work done, needs turbo seals put in it, and a little bit of other work. So it's up at the shop now, so they'll have 2 months to get it taken care of. So that's what's going on at BYCX. Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, I do.
Uh-oh.
Turn your mic on.
You were doing work for PBJR?
No, we're doing work for us.
All the way up to Chulachi?
Well, that's where our shop is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, our shop's up at milepost 33.
Oh, okay.
So if you went up 503 and turned at Healy, that's where Chulachi store is. You go in, and it goes into the Kravitz property first, and then you make a couple right turns, and that's where our shop is. That's where Will Cahill used to live. There's a county-owned house up there.
I did not know that.
Oh, I've come up for a field trip one day.
All these years.
All these years, and you didn't know that?
Nope.
Can you run anything on, between Yaco and the prairie?
It's accepted track. No, we can't run pastures on it, so we can just run our equipment.
Okay, but how, small repair equipment, you don't run?
Oh, yeah, yeah, no.
Can't run a Loki on it?
No, just ran our diesel up there. We just can't take pastures. And I've taken my speeder up, you know, I have a two-person speeder, and I've run it up there. But they just ran the locomotive up there, they had a couple trees down. Kevin and I have been talking about, we need to weed spray up there, and apparently that's our responsibility now. It didn't get sprayed last year, and we were kind of concerned about fire. So we're going to try to get a jump on it earlier this year. We've got one of our volunteers bought Will Cahill's high rail pickup that was inoperative. He's got it going, so we have a high rail pickup we can use, and we're going to borrow, looks like we'll borrow the county sprayer. And the volunteer that's got the pickup is a logger, so he has access to industrial strength herbicide, the same the county uses. So we'll go up there and spray probably another month or so and get the weeds knocked down. And then we'll do one more cruise through before our opening just to get trees and stuff that would be scraping on the equipment.
What will be necessary if they ever open that pit and they want to use that for hauling rock out of it?
They'll have to fix the track. Yeah. And I don't know if Kevin wants to elaborate on it, but once PBJR takes over, they need to maintain the track then, which is good for us. That takes a bunch of gray-haired old guys out of the track repair business.
Where is your stop point?
We have our leases.
No, I mean, how far up can you take the passengers?
Well, our lease is milepost 18.7 to 33. The section we run on is 26.7 down to 20. If Bridge 20 is in shape, but right now it's out of service. But we would run down maybe milepost 21.
But you can't take it any further up than that with passengers.
We could if we upgraded the truck.
Well, that's what I understand.
Yeah, like I said, between...
When you put the golden spikes in, right?
When I joined, we were running north. They were running both north and south, but they ran up to Salachi, turned the train in the Y, and came back. But that was 2000. But we quit running north a couple years later. And that exempted track, there's no minimum. It's if you want to derail every mile, you can. Some railroads do that. But in order to do passengers, you must be class one, which defines how many bad ties you can have in a row and how, you know, the joints and all that stuff.
It's been a while since I took a high rail up there, but we went all the way to the end. So that's why I was wondering where you stopped up there.
We stopped at
6 miles short of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, downtown Yaco. That's about 26.7.
Okay.
I've ridden both of those when they were both public, and the one south of Yaco is far more scenic than the one.
Yeah.
There's really not that much to see from because it's all grown up along the right of way, and you don't have the East Fork running along like you do south. Yeah.
You could see Mount Hood or Mount St. Helens in one spot. That's just about it.
Yeah.
For the scene.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Okay, Kevin, talk about county activities.
I think we may have had Nate Bruce with PBJR join. Nate, did I see you join?
Do you want to...
I think the phone call is audio only. I'm not sure.
Yeah, the phone call will be audio only. So is there an update you wanted to provide to the Railroad Advisory Board today from PBJR?
Not anything from PBJR, but I guess as a representative also from
I don't think that's Nate. Sorry, is this Nathan Bruce with P- PBJR.
Nate Boyd.
Okay, sorry, confused you. Saw Nate in the name, yeah.
That's okay.
All right. There'll be public comment in a few minutes. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
All right.
Okay,
so from the county's updates, so we have the railroad bridge repair project going out for bid, advertisement on April 3rd. We anticipate bid opening on April 23rd, and then construction anticipated to start in June. We are adding the slide up near Lucia Falls to that as part of the construction project. So trying to make that as first order of operation in the contract. So we get that done first so our friends up north can run. And then the railroad roadbed rehabilitation project, mentioned last time that we hired XL Tech. So I spoke with the manager running that contract. They anticipate starting their walkthrough of the line next week. So Randy will be getting in touch with you about being up in that area.
Is this the north end?
Yeah, it's from Battleground northward. So they'll have a week where they spend between Battleground and Yakult, and then probably come back and do Yakult to Chalachi after that, with the hope of having sort of a tentative plan, preliminary plans of what the repairs could be by mid-April. That's the goal. And then that project would be bid later in the fall is kind of the idea right now, depending on how schedules work out. The railroad bridge management plan was sent to the Federal Railroad Administration, so the draft version sent to the FRA last week. They're reviewing it, get back to me with their comments. We've received all the bridge inspections with the exception of the tunnel and the culvert crossing that's north of, that's up near Yakult. I don't remember the milepost on that one off the top of my head. But we received all the other bridge inspection reports. And tentative finalizing the load rating analyses in the next couple of weeks. And then John asked for an update on Senate Bill 5494, House Bill 1371. So I provided you with a report from the Washington State Legislature that gives the current status of that bill. It was passed through the House. Look, they had a pretty wide support for it to pass through the House. It made it to the Senate, and it didn't make it out of the Senate. And, you know, wasn't involved. I don't know any of the reasons why it didn't make it out of the Senate. But there's a nice summary of the bill there, and just for your information. And then as a reminder, this was the bill that was put forward last year that would provide tax breaks to larger Class 1 railroads if they provided materials, surplus materials to like Class 2, Class 3 railroads, such as steel or rail, right? Things like that. And then the last update was freight rail dependent use. Community planning is working on a consultant contract to take that the next step. And that contract should go before council on March 26th. And that's a 10 a.m. meeting. And I can provide you all with the link to that meeting when it's scheduled, if they do hit that deadline of the 26th.
Hey, Kevin, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Did you say that I guess it was the House Bill 1371 did not pass?
Yeah, so the House bill and the Senate bill, those are, you know, they have different numbers, but it's the same bill. So in the House, it was presented as House Bill 1371. It did pass through the House and went to Senate, and the Senate bill number is 5494, and it did not make it out of the Senate.
This says that it passed the House 95-0. So it was unanimous in the House. And it just didn't get out of the Senate. Somebody didn't want it to
Yeah, it looks like it.
Have the breath of life somewhere.
I mean, it looks like it'd be pretty advantageous to the railroad. I mean, some of this stuff.
Kevin, on the, you and I talked about this. Did you determine if Bridge 25 is passable for a locomotive, or do repairs have to be made first?
I don't have the load rating analysis for that yet, but I should have it soon.
Okay.
Yeah, that was one that they were working on as well.
Because that'd be a showstopper for us if we can't go across that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yep. That's all I had on the county activities.
Any other questions, comments? The recruitment advertisement, that 228 date, is that when it went out?
Yes, that's when it went out. I didn't get it out before I went on vacation. So it went out on the 28th. The date for returning those, I think, is coming up on this Friday. We've received a couple of new candidates, new applications, in addition to the couple that we had before. So I think we're up to four or five now. So, you know, someone who's interested, get the word out. Community members that are, you know, on, if there's somebody that you know that would be interested, get the word out, get application materials in. I haven't seen any. Dan, you forwarded me two or three contacts, and I haven't seen anything from those individuals.
Okay, they all sounded like they would be interested.
Yeah.
Who knows? One of them spends 6 months in Hawaii, so I didn't think it would be very advantageous.
Well, there's virtual options, I guess, right?
I guess. Anybody come up with anybody else that you might want to try to recruit? Okay, I'll let you talk about the next item, John. Future agenda and items to discuss and what we want to do and how we want to get there.
Okay. Well, last meeting, you know, I brought up, you know, where do we go from here? And, you know, just backtrack a little bit. This bill 1371 is kind of one of the things I was talking about, where, you know, things that, you know, we're supporting the railroad and supporting PBJR kind of diverge a little bit. 1371, I remember talking to Eric about it when they first started the concept, and he knew of a couple of guys that had enough rail that they'd be willing to donate it just for the sales tax credit, that we would have enough steel to go from Battleground all the way to Shalachic Prairie for free. You know, that's how big of a deal it is. And last year, according to Amber, the only reason it did come out was there were some accounting things at the end, and I don't know what the accounting things were, but that would have enabled one railroad operator to get a $2 million sales tax credit per year that they could give to whoever donated this material. That's sales tax, so take $2 million divided by 0.0854, and that's how much steel you can get donated, and that's per year. The one that came out of the House was $1 million, which is still a lot. And in the Senate, you know, they went to I don't know if I have it here. It went to the Business Financial Service Gaming and Trade Commission. That's a good one, isn't it? And it went out of there with a due pass recommendation, went to Ways and Means. The chair of the Ways and Means had the amendment, and the amendment was gutting the whole bill, putting in a brand new bill, and that knocked it down to $500,000, and then they just didn't do anything, and that's where it died. You know, we don't officially know why it did so good in the House and why it did so poorly in the Senate, but I've talked to a few people and neighbors, environmentalists seem to have been very vocal up there about what Eric is doing in Shalash Prairie. And there was one guy told me there was one state senator that really doesn't like Eric, and she was from the other party, and she was against it, and they just did a lot of stuff going on, and they just didn't want to get into that fight, so it just kind of died right there. That hurts us. That would have been enough to get, you know, get things built out to Shalash Prairie, but you're not going to get anyone supporting it, because a lot of people don't have faith in what's going to happen with the railroad now. You know, a year ago, we had a lot of people, most people really didn't care about the railroad. As a matter of fact, most people didn't even know Clark County had a railroad. And you had one group, the Greater Brush Prairie Neighborhood Association, that was fairly vocal. And that was about it. Now you have Brush Prairie, you have people up in Shalash Prairie, and you have people in Barberton, and they're called Central Vancouver Neighborhood Association, and they're bombarding the commissioners with pictures and letters and being very vocal. They're showing up at a lot of meetings. You know, whenever the county had board time or any public, and they're there. So, the things have changed. And Kevin and I were talking earlier, and these guys, if it truly is their work that stopped this bill, that means whenever we apply for a grant for the railroad, they're probably going to show up with the agencies. And they're going to say these guys don't obey the Washington State laws. So why are you going to give them Washington State money? That's a pretty effective banner to go under. So we got our work cut out for us. And I've been thinking about how do we get, what do we do? You know. Basically we've kind of stayed out of it, and things haven't really gone that well. We even got Neil even pointed out we got a web or a podcast. I never listened to podcasts, but I listened to this one, and it's called Everything Fine in Southwest Washington. And then underneath it, it says everything is not fine. And each podcast is like 45 minutes to an hour. And there are 6 podcasts about Eric and the railroad. And one of them is called Railroad Gangsters. So you can, from that, you can kind of tell how it goes. I don't like the language in it. The politics are way left of me. They make Karl Marx look like Rush Limbaugh. But they do their homework, and they have documents that I didn't even know existed. And all the documents that I have, they have. And if people are listening, then we got a fourth thing that's going on, and we can't ignore it. And if we're going to be effective as a group, we better figure out what we're going to do. You know, Kevin brought up the idea maybe we need to have a retreat where we have a meeting and we just sit down what we're going to work out. I had a meeting with Michael O'Connell. Was it O'Connell?
O'Connell.
O'Connell. You know, guy usually sits here. He wanted to meet because he's going to be out of town. And And, you know, I said, I don't know what we're going to do. I said, I mean, maybe the thing we do is, you know, we go out and meet with the public and say, what would it take for, to restore your confidence that the railroad's going to be, a good participant in Clark County? You know, I know what it takes for me, and I've written them down. And Eric wouldn't like any of them, but, you know, somehow we got to move this thing, so that people are comfortable having the railroad working in their neighborhood. Jim?
Yeah, I guess a couple of comments. One, the Grange is strongly supportive of the railroad maintaining, and we've taken a strong position on that. And I really do think the majority of my neighbors are supportive of it. Now, they're not organizing and they're not speaking out, but I think these people that are speaking out against it in North County are a small minority. They're, and mostly they're people that have moved into the area. They're not the people that grew up there. And so there are a bunch of these people that go, come out to our area, buy a 5-acre piece of parcel, and then say they don't want anybody else living out here. You know, it's an attitude that I've got mine and I don't want anyone else to have anything. And so I don't think that they represent a majority of North County.
Well, I think when the EPA comes in and says, we're going to take over the enforcement of this, you know, we're not talking about a guy that just makes a little extra noise at night.
Yeah, but until you find someone else who's going to keep the thing operating, you've got to work with. He's the individual we're dealt.
Well, and, you know, Michael, you know, one of the property owners is Warnke up there where the, yeah, where the mine takes place. And apparently he told Michael that, you know, when Eric came up there, he said, I wanted some of your property. And if you don't, you know, let me have it, I'm going to take it under eminent domain. Whoops. That's not going to win you any friends either.
Eric certainly probably could use some training on how to deal with people, but
yeah.
Nevertheless, he's who we've got. And I think that, that it's important that we try to figure out how to make it work. And it's, you know, for county government to abandon a resource like that would be a terrible, terrible thing to happen. And they should know that.
Well, I don't think they're talking about abandoning it. It's just like, how do you control this?
You're going to abandon it if you don't keep working on it.
You know, I'm not going to make a comment. You know, we were talking earlier about, nobody brings up what the railroad does for the environment. You take 6 trucks off the road for every rail car, approximately 5.5, depending on the size of the car and all that stuff. 4 for sure.
Four
for sure, but could be more, depending on the product. Those trucks go off the road. That's less traffic on the road, less fuel being burned. People ever decide to take a train like they do in other parts of the country, that's a perfect line to take down there. Building a railroad track, the track's the cheap part. Getting the land, the county already owns the land right now. That's the expensive part. You already have the land, you know, it's more of an educational process, in my opinion, to get the public to understand that this is an asset long-term that's very viable, very good for the environment. I lived by railroad tracks most of my life, and I think a couple of us have, and you just kind of like, okay, it's a railroad, just, you know what it is.
Right. Well, I think the thing that concerns most people is the uncertainty. You know, we went through all this stuff on 5517, putting out permitted uses, and then Eric comes in and says, you know, I can kind of put whatever I want on any piece of property in Clark County. So what I'm worried about, it when they have the hearings of, well, these are the things we're going to allow, and then they're going to say, well, is Eric limited to that? And they're going to have to say no. you know, can Eric put an asphalt plant next to my house? Yeah, probably. You know, up until a year ago, he would have said, no, I'll never do that.
How can he do that without the county? Something like an asphalt plant would have to be permitted by the county. He doesn't have the ability to bypass that process.
He does. Just like a rock crusher. He's gave the county a, out of Chalachi, says, I'm going to put a rock crusher in, I'm going to crush rock, I'm going to crush ballast, I'm going to use it on the railroad, and whatever I don't use, I'm going to sell. And you can't stop me.
I think he's foolish to be saying things like that, but nevertheless, if we're, I think the point that was just made was, you know, I'm a PUD commissioner, and we hear all this talk about getting off oil and gas. You can move a ton of freight by rail for 10% of the energy and by truck. We should be building up our rail systems, and we certainly shouldn't be abandoning any of them. And
nobody's talking about abandoning.
It will be abandoned if you keep screwing around and not doing what's necessary to keep it alive. And that's what's happening in this county.
We're gonna abandon it if everybody in Clark County says, we don't want this. Those guys that sitting up there at that table over there know how to count.
Well, our county government has to, I think, needs to be responsible and think about what's best for the county. Something that makes access to gravel. We need gravel for the county. There's a gravel, huge gravel pit available up there in the potential pit. The railroad would be the ideal vehicle for getting that gravel to the work sites. So if the county commissioners want to do what's best for the county, they would make sure that that asset continues to be available.
Well, first of all, it's not gravel, it's quarry rock, so it can't be used for concrete. Now, that's one of the things in the podcast they're talking about, when Knife River wanted to put in a concrete plant. You know, well, that's just going to be, you know, that's for Eric, so he can haul rock down from Chalachi Prairie. You don't use, at least in the Western United States, you don't use crushed rock for concrete.
You still need a lot of crushed rock for a lot of construction uses.
You can use it for like highway concrete. They don't mind, but in regular concrete, you want round rock. So
no, they don't. That's backwards.
No.
That's backwards. You want crushed rock because it has angles that help it lock together.
You want that in asphalt. You don't want it in concrete.
I will bet you that it's not that way.
I ran a concrete company.
I will bet you. You want to get $10?
There was not one crushed rock in any of the concrete.
We need a civil engineer, but.
Well, I'll take you to. Take you for a ride to the concrete plant.
I think the point is we need crushed rock, and for a lot of purposes, and we have a huge deposit of it available at Chalachi.
Yes, she did. And see, and the thing is that, you know, warranty property, that's the one that is in the court right now. Right next door to it, Rashi just put an application to be included in the surface mining overlay.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to go through it, and he's doing it the right way. Granted, they ought to fire their land use attorney. But if they go through it the way you're supposed to go through it, I have no problem with it. You know, if somebody just shows up with a rock crusher and starts crushing, yeah, I kind of have a little problem with that. You know, for two reasons. One, you know, they don't know what they're getting into. And two, everybody else that's in the rock business in Clark County had to go through the right way. So they should have to go through it the right way too.
Yeah.
So I think that everybody is in somewhat of agreement that the railroad is very beneficial to Clark County. It can be very beneficial in the future out here.
Absolutely.
I mean, but I listened to the conversation, and really what I hear is this catch-22, is that, you know, no matter what we do, we can come up with the best scenarios and we can try to influence people. We have very little control over Eric or the actual operation of the railroad. I mean, it's not a comfortable position to be in. I mean, because like you said, you can't make a promise to somebody. You know, you'll be good stewards when somebody on the other hand can undermine you and not be a good steward on there. So I don't know where, I mean, I'm really, you think about it and I'm like, where do you go to from there?
Yeah, well, yeah,
I don't know.
2 years ago, we didn't think we had this problem.
Yeah.
You know, we went through that whole process with 5517 permitted uses, and we thought everybody was going to be required to go through the same steps. And we were wrong.
Let me make a suggestion that the thought just, I guess, came to me that we've talked about a number of things that we, and John and I presented some of them to the counselors, and you know, they did not accept our proposal on the development of the railroad and instead went back to the small piece that's being looked at right now for the FRDU. But if we put our heads together and say, okay, there's this element, one of them is take the trucks off the road and that, and another one is property taxes and you know, something else, and we get together those pieces and do open house, one or more open houses around the county as a communication device to them. But we have to put together a well thought out, well developed case for those things to convince county people to look at this as a positive thing. And then, and also at the same time, we have to look at what we can do additionally to help alleviate what's going to go on with the railroad at any rate. I mean, there's something's going to happen to the railroad. It's going to do something, whether it's rocking up at the top and, you know, 22 trains a week or a day that goes up and down there, as somebody has suggested might happen. But we know that's not going to happen. I mean, you might have one train of 10 cars coming down. That's a lot of rock. So we got to dispel all of those issues. We got to point out all the positive issues, try to bring that all together in a fashion that makes it a positive thing for the county in total, and not just try to convince one person here and one person there, but we put this whole thing together. I mean, it's not going to be an easy task, but it's doable. And that's something that we could get together and all talk about and say, what are the pieces, and then how are we, who's going to spearhead each one of those pieces and put it together?
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I'll see if you might have it. Granite, in their application, they were pretty thorough in what they said they were going to do. You know, I think they said something like 3 million tons a year of rock coming out of there. It was a big number. And
would they do that just to make sure they had the capacity to do what anything they needed to do?
I don't know, but once they put a number out there, then you have to, that's what you have to defend.
Wouldn't that turn that little mountain into a pit?
No, there's, I figure there's like 140 million tons of rock in that hill that they're talking about mining. So it's enough.
No, I know it's a good place too. I've been up there.
You know, English Pit, you know, we do 3,000 or 4,000 tons a day out of there during the season. So that would be that'd be 30 to 40 train whatever they call them, part of the day.
Well, they'd have to get in the realm of reality, because it's a 33-mile line from Chulachi down, right? I mean, it's a 10-mile-an-hour railroad, really, at, probably at best. You're not going to be able to get that many trains and cars moving on that track to substantiate the number.
Yeah, and I also think it said that they're planning on hauling the rock to Eric's 78th Street property. Did he ever get the easement from the county to use their crossover at the county yard to use the signal lines?
Yes, yes, there's a an easement across the 78th Street parking lot that would access that property. That's correct. That was recorded several years ago.
Okay. Well, at least he won't be right in, right out.
So what happened, you know, we always focus on, seem to be focusing on the rock. There's property south of that other businesses can go into, that the Laglers want to sell, that could be very beneficial for the tax base for the county. And, you know, my brother was the superintendent of buildings, the schools up for 18,000 kids. And he says, you need businesses to support the schools. And people's taxes are going up because schools are running out of money. You know, we're laying off teachers and stuff. I mean, we focus there, but we need to, like Dan said, focus on the whole plan. There's businesses down here that we can develop, the railroad could get to develop and all that stuff. Eric said he had some. You know, we need to bring that to the...
Well, you know, Dan and I spent the whole morning convincing the county that they ought to bring the whole Lagler property into this 5517, and then we found out later that Eric had gone in before us and said he didn't want the whole thing. He just wanted that little part over the right toward middle school. So I'm not sure what's
going on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
My whole theory on that, and I'm not expressed it openly, but is that Eric can manage that small piece and develop it himself and not have to share it. If you bring that whole piece in, he can't develop it himself. He's going to have a partner, so he has to share.
So does the county share in the profits to a certain extent that come off this rail line?
The profits they share after the cars come out of there are so insignificant, it's not funny. I mean, we computed the taxes. If you took that whole Lagler piece in, you get $16 to $20 million. That was on the conservative side, was $16 million, but it's $16 to $20 million a year of taxes off of that as industrial property, as opposed to what's being there, nothing.
I get that. I'm all for that. I was just wondering, you know, you're really looking at increased rail traffic on the line. If it doesn't matter whether you're looking at rock or whatever. If the Lagler property was in there and you got some industry in there that's serviced by the railroad, I mean, all of that's going to increase your car count coming off the line. But if it's fairly insignificant,
the railroad pays the county currently in the lease at 500. Once they hit 500 cars, then they start paying per car. And last year was $10 per car. It's gone up. It'll go up this year based on, you know, inflation rates that are published by the STB. I can't remember what they're called off the top of my head, but and then the next threshold is 1500 cars. It would go up, you know, a little bit higher. I think it's $20 at 1500 cars.
That's insignificant.
Yeah, it's different for rock.
Yeah, I mean,
it's different for natural resources. Yes.
It's only $5 a car.
Correct.
I for one would want to support Dan's proposal. I think that would be an excellent thing for this group to do, to put together the case for why the county should retain and enhance the railroad. So I vote for supporting Dan's proposal.
And just to be clear, Jim, nobody's talking about abandoning the railroad. We're just, you know, we're working on compliance with the lease, right? We want the lease and the lease, the lessee to be in compliance, right? That's the only thing that we're working on. That's our goal.
Yeah, but the I think the county has to be considering the benefits, and they need to start moving on changes that allow development along the railroad. There's no reason why you can't develop businesses and activities in Yakult Prairie and out on Palachi Prairie. And so there's a number of things that need to be done. But I think the key thing is that the council needs to recognize this is an asset. We're lucky that a previous council preserved it for the community, and I think it's up to this council to continue to preserve it. You don't preserve it by letting it die. And that's what's going to happen if we continue to do the minimum.
What I worry about, here's my biggest, we're one vote away from losing the railroad right now. There's an election coming up in November, and if Eric keeps doing what he's doing and keeps his normal PR thing going, it's going to be like the tolls were on in one election. You know, if I was going to run for dog catcher, I'd run on the platform of no more toll. If we get a third vote in there that's against the railroads, we're done. You know, they'll find a way to break the lease, and it'll be rails to trails, and it's all over.
There'll be no rails to trails in North County. They don't have the right to do that.
Well, you're right. You're right.
And as long as there's business on the line, the Surface Transportation Board will never allow the abandonment of the line out there.
So it'll stop at...
it'll just sit there.
You know, one of the things I've recognized becoming an elected official, you can say all you want in campaigning, but when you get the job, you have to start looking at the realities and whether or not what you're... decisions are the best thing for the county, and people change their minds after they get elected when they're faced with real decisions.
Yeah, well, two of these guys haven't changed their mind.
Well, they need to. They need to think. If they don't, what they're doing is they're hurting the county and the county development in the future.
Well,
to me, it's irresponsible as an elected official not to be looking out for the long-term welfare of the organization you represent.
Well, but their idea of the long-term outlook is different than your idea of a long, you know, I mean, we're talking about the long-term economic outlook, and they're looking at the long-term different type outlooks. I mean, you know.
Like I say, once you're elected, you start thinking differently.
Yeah.
Well, and that's one of the things that you have to point out. I mean, if you turn the railroad into trails, that's a total expense to get it there, and a total expense of maintenance and no income. If you leave the train there and you get some income out of it, you're better off than that from an economic standpoint. But
well, and the other thing is, this group is formed to give the council advice, and I think what Dan is suggesting is doing what we were formed to do.
We're formed to support the railroad.
Well, I think what Dan is suggesting is we put together the story of why the county should continue to support the railroad. And
I want to ask a question a little away from this line we're doing right now, but I'd like to ask Doug and Randy, have you noticed when they're taking rock down out of the quarry with your anchors and stuff, is that skewing the ties? When I worked for Burlington Northern, they had loads coming in and out of the coal fields. And when they were running enough trains, but there was higher speed too. But I'm curious because they had to change the way they did their anchors to keep the ties from skewing.
Yeah, they're not running anything now.
Yeah.
And as far as what needs to be done, if they run commercial, the county has had people looking at the track, and no, haven't you had it evaluated, or was that the Excel contract?
There was some work.
Been several years.
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 2020, to evaluate the track, and it's my understanding at the time that they looked at, you know, what the county needed to do to maintain it at accepted track status. No one's looked at it to determine what is needed to bring it up to the standard to haul rock, like
yeah.
we were talking about.
If you were running.
And just, I'd like to make one more point before we, so Portland-Vancouver Junction Railroad is responsible for normal routine maintenance of the line from Hyacin down to Vancouver Lake. So they're doing everything that they need to maintain it as accepted class track. North of that location, it's still the county's responsibility, with the exception of the sublease to Battleground Yakult Chilachi Railroad. If Portland-Vancouver Junction Railroad decides to take on that north section of track, if they decide to run trains on and do freight rail business on north of Hyacin, then they're responsible for maintaining the track, not the county anymore. Okay, so I just wanted to make sure that that's,
okay.
that's clear to everybody.
That's
yeah.
Quickly. Thank you.
They could run a rock train on accepted track, but it would very quickly be on the ground a lot.
Yeah.
If they want to run a train a day, 5 days a week, when empties return and the load down,
yeah.
which is what I think it's probably will be the maximum,
exactly.
because you can vary the number of cars to meet the demand.
Yeah.
Then you need to have heavier rail than our 90 pound that's 100 years old, because the cars are heavier now.
Yeah.
And you need to have the ties all in good shape.
Yeah.
But you do those two things and you can run. You know, you should generally
oh,
should
yeah,
run,
yeah.
be able to run and that.
That's they found out with Burlington Northern that they, you know, it was the thing that
the main line BN is running 100 ton,
oh, 100
ton,
absolutely.
Which is 100 tons of coal. That's the load, and so the car
yeah.
weighs 120 or 30
yeah.
tons, and there are 115 car trains.
Yeah.
So I assume that he would be running an older car that maybe an 80-ton
sure.
car or something. That,
yeah.
So it would be a lighter load and
okay.
slower speed, less dynamic loading on the track.
Yeah. Thank you. I just want to bring that in because, you know, we were talking about, you know, the railroad, you know, how frustrating it, how it's being frustrating to deal with. But I was curious about what was going on if, you know, they open up that rock quarry and stuff.
Well, like Doug said, they've got to take, you know, they'll have to take over the maintenance. Also on the grade, I think there's 65-pound or 66-pound rail, which isn't suitable for that weight.
Yeah.
You know, and as far as putting the clips in for keeping that ties from tweaking, yeah, they'll have to do that and take care
sure.
of that.
Yeah.
But we maintain it for... So it's good enough for us.
Yeah.
But we're not running that kind of load, that kind of speed, and that kind of volume.
Yeah. So we'll get to that. If we'll cross that bridge when we
hopefully we'll get there, because we'll
right
take
now
yeah.
about even.
Passenger equipment at especially at our 10 mile an hour maximum speed is much less demanding on the track than
absolutely
than
yeah.
the heavy
yeah.
freight train.
Slower speeds and everything. But you've got a grade too, you know. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, Jim.
Ann, would you like to have a motion to support your proposal?
Well, I don't know. You and I are the only one that are supporting it right
well,
now.
Well, I'll put it on the table. I move that that we move forward with developing the arguments for why. The railroad needs to be maintained and upgraded.
I'll second it.
No, I don't think anybody disagrees with that. I don't.
Well, but Dan has made a proposal, and what I'm doing is saying, let's pass a motion supporting Dan's proposal.
And my proposal is to develop a presentation for each of the things that are positive about the railroad, and also some information to mitigate some of the misconceptions that other people have about the railroad. So it's a, and I would propose it to be like an open house, where you go there for a couple hours and invite the public, and maybe you have it at two or three different locations around the county, so everybody has a chance.
But we've still got to address, you know, the elephant in the room of, you know, what's going on. You know, the thing, you know, how do you address the thing that apparently the operator thinks the county can't control? You know, when somebody says, can he put an asphalt plant?
And that's one of the things that we, that's one of the...
Yeah, I mean, we got to...
That's one of the elements that we have to address in this presentation.
Right.
And we have to bring the elephant in and tie him down and...
Yeah.
And let him face the music.
I mean, hopefully people can come in there and walk out feeling a lot better about the railroad than when they came in.
No, I understand.
Because there's going to be some people that, there's no talking to them, and we can't do anything about that. But the people that come in with an open mind, you got to be able to have them leave saying, okay, this is all right.
So prior to putting the presentation together, I think that we need more information in order to understand exactly how this is all coming together with the county and the operator.
That's the whole start of this process.
Right.
And that's what you have to do to get there. And I think we have to put our heads together and collectively say, okay, we focus on this topic and then all the things and then other topics, and get the topics all out on the board, and then say, what can we do about all those things? I mean, we have to collect the information. It's not like I'm going to come lay it on your lap and then we're going to sort it out. It's like we all have to develop it. Yeah.
Could we have one, somebody knowledgeable or does the research from the PC prosecuting attorney's office come and, because that doesn't make any sense. The railroads may be able to do things for the railroad, but I don't see how that can affect an industry that's associated with a railroad. It just doesn't make any sense. The railroad would have carte blanche to have anything it wants on property that's not railroad.
I don't propose to be an expert on it, but I do know that there are many laws on the books that have been there for eons that nobody wants to touch and nobody has touched, that gives the railroad tremendous amount of power. I mean, if you go back in years, the railroad was given the ultimate power to, you know, carve a path across the country and up and down the country, and some of those powers still exist. So I'm not going to argue one way or the other about that, but I don't think any of our prosecuting attorneys are experts on that, and so you would have to go to somebody that is an expert. And you know, it's one of those things that you got to dig it out piece by piece, and it's a railroad man, and Mark is probably the expert on it.
You know, John keeps bringing up asphalt plant, but I'm sure you put an asphalt plant, the EPA is going to get involved about gas release and all that stuff. It's just Eric just can't literally do it. I'm that's my guess, because there's air pollution issues.
The question is, an asphalt plant, You need an air contaminant discharge permit, but they won't give it to you if you're not a permitted use. But if he is exempted, then he's permitted use. So yeah, they still have to get an air contaminant discharge permit.
We have a motion on the floor.
Yeah, let me ask. Kevin, and is this something that we can do in an off-site meeting? You need to let us know what we can do and can't do.
Yeah.
In an off-site meeting.
Yeah, I'll have to do some research and get back to you on that. But I mean, I think subcommittees, you guys can form a subcommittee and do things you don't need to meet here and have it in this, you know, this sort of a public setting to be a subcommittee meeting. If it's a formal retreat that you would like to engage in, then I believe that that needs to be public, but I will look into that and get you an answer.
We're talking about having a public open house.
Public open houses could be off-site, yeah, we could, and we could.
I don't have any problem with us being able to do that, I'm talking about having a meeting to get this pulled together.
Yeah. If it involves the entire board, then I believe it has to be a public meeting. But that doesn't mean it has to be here, you know, we could.
Well, isn't the first step for this group to put together the supporting material, and then you have a public meeting? That would be my vision of how we would.
No, yeah, but we have put it all together, but I want a meeting to just to sit down and, you know, if we've got ten pots to do some cooking in, what are those ten pots?
Yeah.
That we have to cook up something.
Yeah, well, that's planning for what, for our activities, that's not a public meeting, not a public meeting to present our ideas.
No.
Yeah.
If you have more than a quorum meeting, that's a public meeting.
So we have to decide whether it's gonna be, break it up into subcommittees and. We gotta figure out what those pots are, then we could probably break it up in subcommittees.
Well, I think the key question here is, are we going to do something like you've proposed? And my motion was that we start the process of what, to achieve what you've proposed.
Okay.
So, gentlemen, just before you take another action, Rocky chimed in on the chat. So it has to be something that's noticed. So if you wanted to do a retreat or like a work session, it had to be noticed, but you, it could be without public comment. So you wouldn't have to have like a public testimony, but it would still be something that would be noticed so that the public knew what was going on.
Okay.
Thank you, Rocky.
Any other questions or comments about this before I ask for the question? Okay. All those in favor of doing what I suggested, and that is develop these different things that we can do and present in an open house, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? You didn't say anything, John.
Yeah, maybe that.
All right, that's what we will do, and then maybe hopefully at the next meeting we can organize how we get that put together.
First, can you realize you just volunteered to do most of the work?
I'll be happy to be part of the team.
Okay, public testimony, anybody?
All right.
Have anything?
Yeah, see, if you're online and would like to speak, it looks like we have Martha Mayer.
Okay.
Go ahead when you're ready.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. I'm kind of new to this format. I'm one of those people that you already have to convince that we need this railroad from PVJR. I've just learned about it the other day and been doing some research. And I love I love trains. I think taking the train to Seattle is great. I think it's a great way to transport goods. I'm not sure we need a train in Northern Clark County to be transporting a lot of things because I'm not sure we want all that industry there. I also have a real concern about Eric Temple. I don't think he's a person you want operating your train. So I guess I would suggest that if you really want a train, that you find somebody else to operate it. And I really commend you for wanting to research. I think it's great that you're getting public input and that you're going to educate the public because I think it's really needed. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha. Anybody else? Go ahead and raise your hand or come off mute if you would like to speak.
Yeah, I'm just on the phone, but it's Nate here. I'd like the discussion. It's good to hear it. I wish I had more expertise to offer and advice and stuff. I just know that, I guess, it from doing my little bit of presentation stuff is definitely, I'm sure people would already be keeping this in mind, is just making it things that are, it could potentially go over the heads of just general public, making sure it's something that's information that's digestible so that people can go and grasp it in a way that will be understandable to them. And one way that helps is definitely as many visuals or graphs or whatnot that you can think of that might help with just creating that visual picture of, hey, this is a great idea, this is why it's good for the county or whatnot, especially for people who are more visual. They might not understand certain things from a conceptual point of view, but if they can see it, it helps, can help at least make it a little bit more digestible. And I guess the only other thing I could add is that since I am part of one of the volunteers at the Oregon Rail Heritage Center, I know it's in a different state, but it's certainly got a lot of public view in terms of what railroads do and what railroads provide. So I just thrown that out there as a potential, being a different state, I don't know how much help it would really be, but it does have public exposure.
What was that?
Thank you, Nate. Anybody else online that wants to say something? Okay, not seeing anybody. Anybody in the room?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm Dave Rill. Last time I mentioned about the public's perception of trains and carloads, and some of the people that I've seen talking negative, they're talking about 50 trains a day, but really it's carloads, and it's a lot different. It's different terminology that you need to tell the public that carloads is one thing, trains is another, and they're thinking 50 trains are going by their house is going to be pretty noisy, but 50 carloads could be one or two trains. So this is something, it's a public perception is pretty important, that you have to convince the public that there's not going to be that many loads going by. And another thing, rubber tires have particles that enter our field or streams, and those rubber tire particles have been found to kill fish. So this is another point we can say that trains do not pollute our streams as much as cars do. And I can provide that study to Dan or Kevin. I've got it at home. I don't have it offhand right now. But it was a study, and I think it's a pretty compelling argument that trains are better in the environment than rubber tires. So that's my two points.
Okay, anything else?
Yeah, I got a question. Steve Jagelski, property owner. I've been seeing a lot of negative, as we all, about the railroad, and I went to the school board to try to get some information from one of the people on the school board, and all he could say was negative stuff, Eric Temple, blah, blah, blah. My big thing is, what has been published in the paper or at school board meetings about positive things with the railroad? Has there been anything, or has there anything been written to where like, I could go to a school board meeting, I'd have a piece of paper, and I have my 3 minutes to talk, and I could say something positive about the tax, you know, how much money it could generate for the schools. But I've yet to hear that. The school board member, he thought I was, well, who are you? He never thought of that. And so I think that's important, what you were saying, Dan, that we need to get that out. But doing it in a public meeting like we had at Hockessin, I think we need to get some positive things out in other areas before we have that positive, before we have that meeting like Hockessin, that public one. If you see what I'm saying? So there are some positive things out there that people can read about, whether it's in the newspaper or whatever, you know, even on TV. I'm sure that we could get something going there. But and another thing is, maybe a way of doing it is, what can the railroad do for the people of Clark County, the schools, in 1 to 5 years? What can the railroad do for the county, for the people, from 5 to 10 years? And we have these things potentially written down. So we could actually go, here, look, this is what we got. These are the positive things.
I'd like to say that I think that's an excellent idea, because we're really not getting a message out there at all. I mean, and the message that is out there is not favorable to the railroad. And I just say that because I live in Ridgefield, and somehow miraculously I get the Ridgefield reflector on my doorstep whenever somebody comes around. But I mean, the railroad's been getting totally trashed in the Ridgefield reflector. I mean, they're front page material or whatever out there, and it's, I don't know, it's like that way 3-4 times. And yeah, with not anything really positive to say about the railroad, and it was, you know, everything else that's going on out there. And yeah, there's no alternate message, maybe a sentence or two at the end, but you know, our message is certainly not out there.
I guess one question that would it be difficult or too difficult to potentially have people who have questions toward actual facilities or the line itself, so that they can see with their eyes, like, hey, this is what we do? Or is that at its current state not something feasible?
Are you saying go on the railroad?
Well, it's tour.
Could you have a field trip that basically you're meeting out on the railroad?
Yeah, that's what we want to do, is develop a program to present to people that, so they can understand the whole picture. Do you have a copy of the presentation that John and I gave?
No, I never did. I didn't get one.
Can you send that?
I think that would be
great.
Send that out. It's still online,
but I can send the link to it. Okay, yeah. Can you pick it up with a link if you give you a link?
Yes, I appreciate that.
Thanks.
Can you
send the link to everybody?
Yeah, I'll send it to the whole group.
I mean, certainly the last part of that touches very heavily on the amount of benefit to the school, because you'll see the tax increase.
See, that's what we need to get out.
Yeah, John and I did that several years ago to the battleground superintendent and vice superintendent, who are both gone now.
Yep.
And they were very much in favor of it, because there was a huge chunk of money coming in to them as a result of the tax base in that area.
Zero student, zero vote.
Right. Yeah.
And I think there's been unforeseen study about fish can go by rubber.
Right.
Did they actually compare it to the railroad and have some statistical data how much less it goes into the water or not?
I think the study was how long it takes fish to die if you get this chemical that is in tires, they didn't compare it to river mud.
I'm going to Google something and see if there's something comparison. I know about the study already, so I know.
I just, it was a study that I saw.
Yeah.
But no comparison.
Look what happened up in Cova, or that, if you walk to the river, they had a plastic or rubber stuff on the side of the field, and it hard up against the alcohol, and that happened up there because it's water, so it does happen.
So that's something we talk about comparing automobiles versus present to the.
Okay, anything else from anybody on the floor? Anybody else online? Okay, what I will do as a result of this saying that we want to do this activity is I will put together and develop the, I'll call it the stewing pots that we have to put together. I'll put the, some of those together in terms of you know, what the subject is and then some of the things that would fit within that. And so we'll have a few of them to talk about as we go forward. And then we'll decide how to break it up and tackle it. Okay? Anything else? Go to the order. Anybody online or otherwise?
I put an article in the letter to the editor advocating pestilence. It came out Saturday. I got copies of people on the read what the state. We need that area also.
We're going to get the track developed first.
Are we adjourned?
Do I hear a movement for adjournment?
Move.
Any opposed to adjournment?
Yeah.
We're adjourned.